Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island Beer Company, which brews beers that are highly rated by beer critics and beer lovers alike. More at gooseisland.com. We don't need to be the only beer you drink. We just want to be the best beer you drink.
I hereby pardon Courage so that he can live out the rest of his days in peace and tranquility.
That's because in keeping with a long-standing tradition, Pumpkin and Pecan are hereby granted a full and unconditional presidential pardon.
I'm granting this turkey a permanent reprieve. After many years in the coop, he's on his way to a farm in Virginia.
This is Sound Opinions, and you know, Greg, there has been a long-standing holiday tradition at the White House around Thanksgiving when the president comes out and pardons a big old turkey, sparing his neck from the chopping block, saving it from the dinner table. One assumes another turkey's been sacrificed, and somewhere somebody gets turkey for dinner. It's a classic tradition.
It is, Jim. In that spirit, we're going to pardon some musical turkeys of our own. By that, we mean, you know, bands or artists that we think have had pretty bad careers, certainly no better than mediocre, but they've got at least one song or maybe an album that redeems them. We're not talking about one-hit wonders, but we're talking about artists with otherwise long, successful histories that we nonetheless think are turkeys.
Yeah, that we wouldn't listen to unless we were being paid to do so.
Exactly. Jim, why don't you start us off?
Greg, I've got to go with a band named for the city you and I love. We've long been making the case that Chicago, the city, is one of the great musical meccas anywhere in the world. However, Chicago, the band, boy, does not live up to the legacy of this city otherwise. I know you'll defend them in the early days when Terry Kath was on guitar, and he died from an accidental self-inflicted gunshot wound about 78. I can't even defend the Kath years. I think, generally speaking, when you look at this idea of a Chicago band building on the roots here of blues and R&B and soul and adding horns, right? You know, go to Blood, Sweat, and Tears, especially that first record that Al Kooper was on. You know, yeah, Chicago had horns. They also had lame melodies, bad vocalists, that horrible, you know, prom theme sort of, you know, slow dance vibe going on. And some of the worst toupees in the history of fake hair, okay?
You're the meaning in my life. You're the inspiration.
One of my favorite lines ever was from a Rolling Stone review. It said, Chicago the band is the best argument ever for birth control. That was very classic. That's like 71, 72. However, I will defend this band for one song, 25 or 6 to 4. I know it's a dumb song, but it does have a great riff, and I love the horns on this song. All right, so this is the one time I will give Chicago the band a pardon.
Against the
Chicago, 25 or 6 to 4. What a bad band. And they left Chicago, like, even before the first album,
well,
right?
You're so wrong, though, about them being a bad band. I mean, those early records are really good.
I'll
defend them.
No,
I will defend the CTA, as they were known.
Yeah, Chicago
the
Transit Boys
of Chicago.
Authority.
Yep. They were pretty good in those early days. With Terry Kath, great band. I'm going to pick a band that emerged during the so-called alternative rock era, Jim. There was a lot of bad bands came up under the rubric of alternative rock.
Was basically, I got one coming later.
Basically a commercial radio format, right? Not really a genre of music.
Modern rock, they
so
called it.
So you got these bands who were clearly commercially oriented. They were playing, you know, basically a new version of corporate rock. Exhibit A is Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah.
Banned all over the radio in the early 90s. Here's why the word grunge had to go somewhere and die, because of bands like this. Taking what came up in Seattle, you know, Mudhoney, Soundgarden, yeah. These bands that were doing
and ruining
really
it.
Good versions of, you know, this kind of hard rock that was rooted in 70s metal and punk, and turning it into a commercial, you know, jingle music. The Stone Temple Pilots were Exhibit A. They had songs like Plush and Interstate Love Song that were all over radio for years.
Breathing is the hardest thing to do. We've done lives in long to stay for you. You lied. Goodbye.
But they did redeem themselves with one good song, and I'm going to play it. It came from their 1999 album. This is well past their prime era. Their fourth record, imaginatively titled Number 4, produced one great song, and it's called Sour Girl. And the reason I like it is that it sounds like nothing else in their catalog, really.
So does it count if a turkey isn't sounding like what made it a turkey?
You know, I'm going to go with it. The one thing that the band had going for it, I think they wrote some pretty catchy hooks. I mean, they were undeniably melodic songs that they wrote. Dean DeLeo, the guitar player, Robert DeLeo, his brother on bass, wrote a lot of the music in this band, and they came up with some pretty catchy choruses. This song has one, but it's dreamier, a little bit more subtle. This is an acoustic song rather than that heavy testosterone-laden rock for which they were known. So here's one track that Scott Weiland couldn't screw up. You know, he actually did a pretty good job with it. It's called Sour Girl from Stone Temple Pilots on Sound Opinions.
Don't turn away.
Sour Girl from Stone Temple Pilots. I forgive them for that one song.
I don't know. Here's a band I can't forgive. They're responsible for so much lousiness in rock and roll for so long. And yet there's a real generational divide, Greg. I'm about 2 years too old to have ever appreciated Kiss. But I had younger cousins, and they were the gateway drug for my younger cousins into rock and roll.
You drive us wild, we'll drive you crazy. You keep on shouting. I wanna rock and roll all night.
it had something to do with comic books. This is long before video games, right? Even at the impressionable age of whatever I was, 13, 12, 14, right? I just dressing up like a comic book character to play rock and roll seemed absurd to me. The tongue and Gene Simmons. I don't think my political consciousness was not yet fully formed, but I knew that these guys were not kind to women, and they were ridiculous and absurd and obnoxious at the same time. However, Detroit Rock City is a great song. It's a really great song. Number one, you know, you and I both love Detroit. After Chicago, you know, America's probably second greatest rock city, you know, besides New York and L.A. Yeah, they get all the attention, right? But so much great music from Detroit, and there's such a wonderful working class rock and roll vibe. Kiss really took off there, although they were from New York. They always appreciated it. And you know, Detroit Rock City is a fairly absurd song. You know, the kid's getting jacked up. He is driving. To a concert on a Saturday night. He's a little uptight, Greg, you know, and the radio is the only light on in the car. And then he hears his song and it pulls him through. It makes him get up and then it makes him get down, right? Mm-hmm. But then if you dig a little deeper, it's actually about a real Kiss fan who was going to one of their concerts who died in a car accident. Surprising, you know, sort of empathy from Kiss that you don't often hear. And the fun footnote here is this was a single with, you know, the Peter Chris throwaway Beth on the B-side. Mm-hmm. And then it was Beth that exploded. You know, Greg, I hear you calling, but I just can't come home right now. This is a bad band. I'm feeling guilty pardoning them even as I play it. However, what a great riff this song has. Detroit Rock City by Kiss. Greg, if you want to keep your Thanksgiving dinner down, whatever you do, don't go on YouTube and look up Foo Fighters covering this song with Paul Stanley, because you'll lose it. You're not going to enjoy your dinner after that. You got another turkey to pardon?
Oh, yeah. We got lots of turkeys today, Jim, that we want to pardon. And one is by an artist named Coolio, who actually it seems like a heck of a guy. He's a chef.
Today, we're going to show you how to cook when your friends come over to watch the game.
Yeah. You know, he's got his own little web show. And
I like reading interviews with him. He's funny.
Entertaining guy and clearly made something of himself. Made 9 albums.
Wow.
And sold a bunch of singles, 6 top 40 singles. So the guy had a very successful career. And I found myself going back over, you know, Coolio's recordings the other day to refresh myself, you know, because I thought, you
see,
know,
people wonder why
he's
we
not
get,
really a turkey.
People wonder why we get paid to do this,
right?
Right.
And,
but having to spend an hour with Coolio's 9 albums,
and then I realized I don't really like any of these albums
right,
anymore.
Right.
You know, they really don't hold up.
You don't have to stand on the corner and slang, because you got your own thing. You can't help me if you can't help yourself. You better make a laugh.
That said, he does have one great moment, and that is Gangsta's Paradise.
Yeah.
That single that came out in 95, huge single. That's probably what he's most known for. That song really holds up. It gets me every time. It's kind of like this combination of gospel and gangsta rap,
yeah.
Which it sounds absurd, but really works.
You can't listen to it without waving your arms in the air.
Got a little help from Stevie Wonder, too, right?
Yeah.
The sample of Pastime Paradise is a key hook in the song, but he sort of reworks it. He turns this song, this sort of gospel-y vibe, this hymn, into a parable about the tragedy of the gang life. It starts very dramatically. This is a very operatic track. He quotes Psalm 23:4, "As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," and then it morphs into, "I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left." And it tells this very dramatic, it could be like a play, like a three-part play, the way it plays it out in the song. So there's a lot of action packed into these three, four short minutes, a lot of drama, and it's clearly the mountaintop of Coolio's otherwise forgettable career. Here is Gangsta's Paradise from Coolio on Sound Opinions.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying in chalk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta low. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of cheater little homies wanna be like, on my knees in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight.
Been spending most of the night.
Coolio with Gangsta's Paradise, a turkey I want to pardon on Sound Opinions.
When do you think the last time that was played on any public radio station was?
Well, let's see. It came out in 95. I would guess maybe once in 1995.
I was going to say never, but yeah. Stick around for even more musical turkeys being pardoned, spared the chopping block, and later we'll remember very much not a turkey, singer-songwriter Leonard Cohen, and some other musicians we've recently lost. That's all coming up on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.